Well, I no longer need to say wake up. Everyone seems to have awakened by the millions. This is the day after. Welcome into Redacted for your post-election coverage. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, if you're new to the show, we tend to cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. And also now, today, we're going to talk about the death of the legacy media. It's clear can be. Kamala Harris also about to deliver her concession speech. She just called up Donald Trump a few minutes ago and delivered her concession to Donald Trump. So we're going to hear from her in just a few minutes. We're also going to talk about the liberal media.
Right, and the blame game, how the liberal media refuses to look at themselves. I mean, I've been thinking about this nonstop. They lied about COVID. That was the main thing that descended their decline in trust. And then when their full court pressed to prevent Donald Trump's election, and they refused to acknowledge it. So we're going to watch this sort of amazing lack of self-introspection that they are displaying right now. It's amazing. We're also going to talk about how they are despondent over Trump's legal challenges coming to an end. Seemingly, we're going to look at these because they're saying, oh, my God, he just earned himself a get out of jail free card from the Monopoly board. Is that actually the case? We're going to look at that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And so we're also going to talk about the death of the legacy media. I think last night you saw the clearest sign yet that legacy media is on a total downward spiral. The numbers are in, and it's actually pretty stunning. We're going to talk about what that meant for everyone flipping over to MSNBC or Fox News, and all of those numbers have come in today, and it is bad. It is bad. And you know what did rise up, of course, was X, was independent media. We had tens of thousands of you with us last night here on the show watching us, over a million in total, which was amazing. So thank you guys for that. It's really, really remarkable. So I see, let's see here in the chat here, Brady Sasbo says, guys, you got to be exhausted. I know you guys did a great job last night. Thank you so much to the tens of thousands of you that watched us last night. Thank all of you for joining us last night. We really, really appreciate it. But we had some coffee. We stayed up late. We were stunned. I loved watching MSNBC last night. It was like watching a funeral wake.
Yes.
Like, it was like the most amazing. They should have all just been wearing black,
right,
like we are right now. It's pretty remarkable.
This is blue.
Oh, that's blue?
I'm wearing navy blue.
Okay, is that blue? I can't really tell.
Royal blue.
Is that blue? I can't really tell.
That's another movie line. Put it in the chat if you know it.
It's kind of crazy. Take a look at this. This was this morning. We got a huge, huge snowstorm here and in the mountains and just walking. And it was just sort of amazing this morning to see sort of the beauty and the calmness, but also to see, there's my boy Grover, but then to see, yes, the avalanche that poured over all of the any Harris and Walt signs. It seemed like the Trump guys went out and like cleaned off all their Trump signs. So they're all like nice and like looking nice. The Trump flags and stuff, they're all over the neighborhood. But the Harris and Walt signs. In fact, there's one person I was watching who had their Harris and Walt sign. They went out and just took it. It was gone. They were already removed it.
The big one?
Yeah. They're like, they're done. They're like, we're out. We're done.
Yeah.
Over.
And, I was really upset when Trump won in 2016. So I know what this feels like to be so despondent and really think that he is a beastly monster that's going to take over the country. I get it. But if you look at the flip side, who is he surrounded with? Tulsi Gabbard, Vivek Ramaswamy, RFK Jr., who have promised such wonderful things like removing fluoride from the water, abolishing the FDA, which has lied to us about the COVID vaccine, ending foreign wars, shrinking the size of government, making the U.S. dollar actually backed by something, whether it's Bitcoin or gold or what have you. Those are positive things. Those are things to lean into. And the people who have lied in the most egregious way, that have caused children to be droned in the Middle East, children, innocent men dragged off the streets in Ukraine, dragged into a war that the United States wanted and has been planning for over a decade, military budgets that include drafts for men and women. That's why I was so excited to see the Democrats have their faces shoved in utter shit. So that is what I'm celebrating today. Less than a Trump win, but a Democratic loss.
Also, we're moments away from... go ahead, Philip.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I had to like kind of explain to my daughter last night because she was pretty distraught. This is the first election she's voted in. And she was just like trying to understand why. And I was like, Kamala was never popular. Like nobody ever voted for her. They tried to skirt the fact that like she got, 4% of the vote in her, the primary she actually ran in. And so it's like, she was never popular. It's like, you can't, this is never going to work. You can't just force something on people like that.
And that's the reason we have a primary, is so that the Democrats could put forth and choose for themselves the best candidate. They never had the chance to do that because the Democrats cheated by leapfrogging RFK Jr. and installing Joe Biden and then pulling him away. They never had a vote, and they haven't in over a decade. Go ahead, Philip, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been like 2008, I think, was the last time the Democrats actually had a proper primary.
Yes.
Because after that, it was sort of they forced Biden on us, and then they tried to force Biden again, and then didn't end around. And then
what happens is all these liberals get together in an echo chamber, right? This is why they hate X, because they can't have their echo chamber. Mm-hmm. So you had all the liberals that were on X, and they're like, we can't have this. We can't have people telling their opinions and free speech. We can't have this. We have to go over to Threads. Like, who the hell's using Threads? Are you kidding me? Or Mastodon?
Yeah.
Like, so liberals are like, we got to go have our own little echo chamber. Well, we can't have any dissenting voices. And so they don't want to know that she was never popular. That, in fact, we're going to look at the numbers here in just a few minutes, and we're going to go through all of this because there are some stunning revelations about last night's win that's damning for Democrats who lived in this echo chamber. So we are just a few minutes away here. We're watching right now. Kamala, we're waiting for Kamala Harris to come out and to speak live. They're kind of testing the microphones right now. She's going to come out and give her big concession speech. And she already called President Trump a few minutes ago and delivered that speech.
And what do you think liberals could do if they wanted to honestly navel gaze and say, what did we do wrong? Yes, they cheated so many times by dethroning Bernie Sanders, installing Hillary Clinton.
Steele dossier, creating a fake Russiagate fake story.
But it's not that liberals don't have some good ideas. So could they recreate their platform honestly? I don't see them doing that because of all of the warmongering, the cheating and the stealing, murder. But how?
They pandered to the DNC. They let the rulers in their party, that's who they're playing with, and those people don't actually give a shit if they win or not, because they still make the money, all of the and so it's like, what they're not doing is they do not actually appeal to their voters. And I think that's
so
why
given all the food is rotten in that refrigerator, what do you think is left in there? What's good that can be pulled out? What do you think, Philip?
I mean, I think it'll be for, you know, people like my daughter and stuff like that to just sort of fight back. You know, fight their party.
Yeah. But on what principles, though? Like feminism, or like what's left that is actually worth saving?
Well, what you're hearing from the crying, which we'll get to here in a second, is they're taking away my freedom of choice, which that there's no evidence of that whatsoever. In fact, if you want to look at freedom more as a choice than anything right now, and states actually voted. States had their own decisions. Ballots passed last night, and choice was actually on the ballot in a lot of states that passed.
For the issues. Yes.
So, like, this idea of choice, like, that's a big one, that he's a fascist, that he's Hitler, and the big thing, he's going to lock people up.
No, I don't want to talk about the anti-Trump rhetoric of the Democrats. I want to talk about what is good that they have left in their refrigerator that's not
You're
spoiled.
Talking about liberals.
Yeah, for Democrats. What can they build their party on now, since they've been cheating in their politics and they now are the party of censorship and war? What's left? Because they used to be the anti-censorship, anti-war party, pro-rights, all of those things. So I really want someone who's a Democrat to say, well, these are the things that are important to me. Let's build off of that. And I'm searching for that.
Ask Jared Polis in Colorado, who is likely going to run against J.D. Vance in 2028. So get ready for that. Colorado, very interesting numbers last night. Colorado went immediately blue. As soon as they called Colorado, as soon as the polls closed, it was immediately called by the Associated Press. Jared Polis, of course, has set up like a blue wall in the West now, winning New Mexico and Colorado. Mark my words, he will likely be the Democratic candidate to go up against J.D. Vance in 2028. You better get to know his name soon. Multimillionaire, many times over multimillionaire. And you know, you can look probably at how they won in Colorado on issues, on specific targeting and issues in Colorado. And I think it's going to be interesting to unpack that. And maybe that will be what the future of the Democratic Party looks like in 2028 is Jared Polis.
We just got a super chat that says Natalie for press secretary. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
I'm not doing that.
we're waiting here moments as Kamala Harris is going to come out and give her concession speech. And so we're going to watch that and bring you that in a second here. Again, she already called President Trump and conceded on the phone. So that's officially done. Now this is all just for the cameras, but we'll bring that to you. And I want to see if she's going to talk about healing, moving the country forward, or if it's going to be more sort of like View rhetoric like we heard on The View this morning. So these were the headlines on Monday, the day before the election. We were given a sort of a playbook of exactly who Democrats would blame if they lost the election. Take a look at this. Natalie brought this the other day. Kamala Harris supporters ready to blame Joe Biden if her campaign fails. Black voters are being set up by the left to take the blame for a Kamala Harris defeat. So they were already telegraphing, no pun intended, exactly how this was going to go. And that's exactly what happened. So you heard from surrogates on the Kamala Harris team last night specifically about Tim Walz. They made a huge mistake in picking Tim Walz, a white guy from Minnesota. They should have gone with Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania. Oh, black voters, you guys really, screwed the pooch here. You did not support Kamala Harris?
Sane as that.
I don't know. I just couldn't think of something else to say. Here was the view just a few... Here was The View just a few minutes ago. This is Sunny Holstein. I want you to listen to her like rhetoric. You can see how pissed she is, how much anger she has in her body. Watch this.
So why do you think that uneducated white women voted against their reproductive health freedoms? And why do you think Latino men voted in favor of someone that's going to deport, says he's going to deport the majority of his community?
I don't think white women like being called uneducated white women. I think the economy matters, national security matters. But when you put people in these boxes, I think that's a takeaway from this race.
Yeah, good for Farah for actually pointing that out.
Yes, girl.
So she's like, all these uneducated white women, all these stupid white women that voted for Trump, all of these Latinos that voted for Trump, you're stupid, basically, is what she's saying. All you black guys out there who voted for Trump, you're stupid. That's what she's basically saying with her elite, her Upper West Side elitism that she's carrying there.
Yes, because she doesn't have to live in neighborhoods with criminals. So when Democrats say that they want to let out criminals or flood the border and criminals actually move into these Latin communities, Latins suffer first. They're the ones that get raped. They're the ones that get burgled. They're the ones that get their car stolen and get shot. And guess what? They kind of don't like it.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, this racist idea that Latins want an open border because they see people that look like them, that's not how it works.
Wait a minute. So let me understand this, Sunny Holstein, and all of you liberals out there who are crying about this and who are putting out this blanket lie. I've heard it multiple times over the past 24 hours from liberals, like on a podcast that I listen to regularly. It has nothing to do with politics. They were saying, Trump's going to deport all of these Latinos. I can't believe how Latinos would vote against. This is ridiculous. So let me just get this right. So a Mexican who is here on a green card legally in the United States working, earning money for him and his family, suddenly thousands of illegal immigrants come into this community and take away his job. He's supposed to support
be excited
that?
About that?
Like, do you hear what you're saying?
Right.
So this was I don't know what echo chamber they're living in, but they totally dropped the ball. I don't know what data they were looking at. I don't know who they were talking to. Were they not talking to Latino voters?
I think it only makes sense if you don't actually know any Latins or black people. And right. Something that Candace Owens says repeatedly is black people are by nature more conservative if you actually talk to them. But I think that, not the ones that are coastal elites. Go ahead, Philip, please.
Like the most Latino county in the United States, in Texas, went for Trump for like 96%. I mean, that's just, shows that identity politics, it has failed. It is not working.
Yeah. In Pennsylvania, in the Reading, Pennsylvania, where I'm from, the corridor, the Latino corridor, huge, huge population of Puerto Ricans that live there. Many of them who work on the mushroom farms there and have lived there for years. They don't want illegal immigrants coming in and taking their jobs. And so they voted for Trump. So this weird echo chamber that liberals are living in right now just shocks me. And then, of course, there's all of the crying. So liberals, they can't just like cry at home and be upset about it and talk with their friends. No, they have to flip on their TikTok cameras and then cry into their TikTok cameras. And this was all over social media last night. Here's just a snapshot of some of the liberals crying. I'm crying. Hold on, let me go get my camera so I can film myself crying and then put this out
ugly
to the world.
Ugly cry is what I call it. It's not a beautiful cry. I don't know what you're going for here, but that's not flattering. Go ahead.
How did we get here? What in the Alice in Wonderland nightmares is going on right now?
All I can say is how fucking dare you?
If you voted for that man, if you voted for anybody other than Kamala and you live in one of the states that it was, you know, close, or if you didn't vote, fuck you.
It's not gonna happen.
Go Kamala.
I chose family. I chose women. I chose America. I love you.
How the fuck is this still happening? All I've ever known politically is hatred.
I'm done with you. I'm done with you and your mother and your sister. I'm just done with all of this.
What did my mom do? What did my sister do?
Yeah. This harkens back to the study that we talked about last week about how liberal teens have the highest rates of depression because they're focused on the wrong things. The media tells them all kinds of things that makes them super upset. And if they're not reading books and actually looking into those things, that this is how they feel. And I get it.
Yeah, they're going to feel depressed.
I'm really sorry for these young people and upsetting it is to them. I truly am.
Yeah, it really is upsetting. And because when you have people like Joe Scarborough and MSNBC, and they put out these lies and they make you believe that all of these people who voted for Trump are racist, they're misogynists, they hate women, they're fascists, they're going to lock you up in some sort of internment camp. This is remarkable. So this was Morning Joe just a few hours ago. Watch.
I just say really quickly, too. Democrats need to be mature and they need to be honest and they need to say, yes, there's misogyny. But it's not just misogyny from white men. Mm-hmm. It's misogyny from Hispanic men.
Right.
It's misogyny from black men, things we've all been talking about, who do not want a woman leading them. Might be race issues with Hispanics. They don't want a black woman as president of the United States. You know, the Democratic Party, I've always found when you're sitting around talking, they love to just sort of balkanize everybody into these separate groups and say, oh, white people don't like women and black people. No, it is time for the Democrats to say, okay, and you and I have talked about this before, a lot of Hispanic voters have problems with black candidates.
Right. With other Hispanics. You've got some that don't like each other. And some of the most misogynist things I've heard going on this Get Out the Vote tour came from black men. I mean, misogynist things. So you're absolutely right. It's not simplistic. And we've got to have real honest conversations about it.
Honest conversations.
Conversations.
What examples? What does anybody know what black men said that was misogynist?
So are they saying that when black men called out Kamala Harris's fakeness, mm-hmm. when a lot of black men on videos and so forth, and you saw it in polling interview and so forth, saying they didn't buy, they thought she was phony.
Yeah.
So that's misogynist?
I don't know. If you've seen something that you truly think is misogynist, I would like to see that. I want to know.
Well, Joy Reid is losing it and worried. Hold on, let me play this because she's flipping out and totally losing it and basically says, of course, that President Trump will lock people up. He just like Hitler, just like Mussolini, just like Viktor Orban. What? This is the kind of stuff that they are pushing now. Watch this.
We on this side of the TV screen have said all we can. We've laid out the stakes in this crucial election, where one side stands for freedom while the other meets the textbook definition of fascism. Namely,
so you're all fascists.
Far-right dictatorial freedom? Regime like Hitler's Germany freedom. Or Franco's Spain or Mussolini's Italy.
I'm so glad they had that wall at the ready.
South Africa before Mandela yeah. and the black majority took control, or Vladimir Putin's Russia, Viktor Orban's Hungary, or Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela today that suppresses the rights of women and minorities, uses the military to execute the whims of a strongman dictator, and controls and suppresses the press, education, the arts, rewrites history to suit a favored and dominant racial class, and foments extravagant corruption.
So do you hear yourself, Joy Reid?
Freedom.
Everything you just said is exactly what the Democrats did and have done. Suppression of the media, censorship, locking down freedom.
Vaccine mandates.
Using the military to strong arm the rest of the world.
Yeah.
That's what you've done.
Cheating in elections. Installing a puppet government. What the hell?
So if we look at some of the numbers here, Harris had a 25-point edge over Trump with Hispanic females was notably lower than Biden's 39-point advantage. So Hispanic females went for Trump in a way that they had no idea was going to happen, apparently. Overall, Trump won 45% of Hispanic voters nationwide. That's unbelievable, compared to 53% share that Harris had. That is a huge increase for Latino voters for Trump. But listen to this. Trump's share with Hispanics of both genders was up 13 percentage points compared to the 2020 exit polling. So he improved his position since 2020 dramatically. Also massively with black voters. Huge gains in swing state exit polling across the country. When we were watching Georgia last night, we were watching the black return votes in exit polling out of Florida. And we're saying, wow, these are stunning numbers out of Florida. Holy smokes. If this carries up into the Northeast, into Philadelphia, into Illinois, into New Jersey, into New York, this is going to be a sea change. The GOP, President Trump also received about 20% of the black vote in the Badger state, which is pretty remarkable. Far less than Harris got. 78% backing was a big improvement over his last cycle there. So huge numbers there. And also Trump won only 8% of black voters in 2020 in Wisconsin back in 2020. So a huge increase in the black vote in the state of Wisconsin. So you can lie to your viewers all you want, MSNBC and CNN, and all try to paint all these people as misogynists, they're racist, black voters, you're somehow racist now against, who are you racist against? Who are you misogynistic against? Because Turns out women also didn't vote for Kamala Harris. So this idea that your uneducated white women didn't vote for Kamala Harris, a chat, super chat here from Rachel Day. Thank you. She says, excuse me, uneducated white women? I may not have a college degree, but that doesn't mean that I'm stupid or uneducated.
Yeah, that's a good point. They mean not college educated. And speaking of education, if you tuned in late last night and my son joined us for a little bit, he's a teenager. He goes to high school. And some of the things that the teenagers were chanting Trump about is that they all agreed they're afraid to be drafted into foreign wars based on lies. So this is another fear that maybe more conservative leaning people have. Democrats just feel like, I'm not going to war. Don't worry about it. That's not a real possibility. But a lot of teenagers are. And so this anxiety about what we're putting on our kids, I do feel responsibility for that too. They're afraid. We're all afraid. And so it doesn't help anyone to cry on a camera about things that may be nebulous when literally we are in war right now. We have 57,000 troops that are in harm's way
in the Middle East, just in the Middle East alone
today.
Yeah. And it looks like it, you know, who knows if it's going to get worse before it gets any better. Also, it should be noted too. So I'm curious about this because the Amish in Pennsylvania. So again, the state where I'm from and next to Berks County where I'm from, you know, they had Lancaster County and you had a massive turnout. Upwards of 180,000 Amish voters coming out voting for the first time. Voting for the first time in a U.S. election, and they voted for Trump. Why did they do this? Are they racist? Are these like white Amish racists that came out and voted for Trump? No. You know why they did this? Because of government overreach, the Biden administration's overreach into the Amish community, telling them and telling one particular Amish farmer that he couldn't produce raw milk. And the Biden administration is involved in that. Meanwhile, our borders are wide open and tens of thousands of people are pouring into the country. But raw milk is what you're concerned about, just like Peanut the squirrel. So the Amish came out in droves. Are they all racist? Here was one exit poll. Here's speaking to an Amish person after a vote in Pennsylvania. Watch.
And who are you voting for?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Are you Amish?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. And so the Amish are going to be coming out to vote this year?
Some of them, yeah.
Right. What has caused so many of the Amish to register to vote this year?
Probably just... they want to get out and vote and make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you guys been affected this past 4 years underneath the Biden-Harris administration?
I would say definitely, yeah.
And in what ways has the Amish community been affected?
One way is that with Trump, the Amish had, I would say, more freedom. And with the Biden administration, there was not, you know, it started getting tighter and tighter. Tighter and tighter.
All right, we're going to bring you Kamala Harris's concession speech here in a moment. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Ramp, because right now they are doing a fantastic thing for our viewers.
Yes, they are offering $250 when you join Ramp. That's a sign-up bonus. There's no money off. It's time for saved employees. So what Ramp is a corporate card and spend management software designed to help you save time and money and put money back in your pocket. Ramp gives finance teams unprecedented control and insight into company spend. With Ramp, you're able to issue cards to every employee with limits and restrictions, and automate expense reporting so you can stop wasting time at the end of the month and stop missing things. My father has a workforce of over 100 people at his office, and he had people who were abusing their company cards, and it took him months to find it because their software hadn't flagged it. But with Ramp, their accounting software automatically collects and categorizes expenses and can flag anything that seems not quite right. So it gives your employees the freedom to spend in order to grow your business, but not the freedom to take advantage. And Ramp will help you get started. They can issue virtual and physical cards in less than 15 minutes, whether you have 5 employees or 5,000. So right now, get that $250 off when you join Ramp. Head on over to ramp.com/redacted. One more time, that's Ramp, ramp.com/redacted. Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member of the FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, a few minutes ago, Kamala Harris called President Donald Trump and conceded the election. And she just took the stage right now to deliver her concession speech. We want to bring that in live as it is happening right now.
Love you so very much. To President Biden and Dr. Biden, thank you for your faith and support. To Governor Walz and the Walz family, I know your service to our nation will continue. And to my extraordinary team, to the volunteers who gave so much of themselves, to the poll workers and the local election officials, I thank you. I thank you all. Look, I am so proud of the race we ran and the way we ran it. And the way we ran it. Over the 107 days of this campaign, we have been intentional about building community and building coalitions, bringing people together from every walk of life and background, united by love of country, with enthusiasm and joy in our fight for America's future.
Joy. Yeah, how'd those coalition building
and
work?
We did it.
It's a total failure.
That we all have so much more in common than what separates us. Now, I know folks are feeling and experiencing a range of emotions right now. I get it. But we must accept the results of this election. Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition, and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power.
Oh, good.
Oh, they're applauding that.
So unlike the Obamas, who destroyed
a
computers.
The fundamental principle of American democracy is that when we lose an election, we accept the results. That principle, as much as any other, distinguishes democracy from monarchy or tyranny. And anyone who seeks the public trust must honor it.
This is a backhanded compliment.
In our nation, we owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States. And loyalty to our conscience and to our God. My allegiance to all three is why I am here to say, while I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
Okay.
The fight for freedom, for opportunity, for fairness, and the dignity of all people. A fight for the ideals at the heart of our nation, the ideals that reflect America at our best. That is a fight I will never give up. I will never give up the fight for a future where Americans can pursue their dreams, ambitions, and aspirations, where the women of America have the freedom to make decisions about their own body and not have their government telling them what to do. We will never give up the fight to protect our schools and our streets from gun violence. And America, we will never give up the fight for our democracy, for the rule of law, for equal justice, and for
the
sacred idea that every one of us, no matter who we are or where we start out, has certain fundamental rights and freedoms that must be respected and upheld. And we will continue to wage this fight in the voting booth, in the courts, and in the public square. And we will also wage it in quieter ways, in how we live our lives, by treating one another with kindness and respect, by looking in the face of a stranger and seeing a neighbor, by always using our strength to lift people up, to fight for the dignity that all people deserve. The fight for our freedom will take hard work, but like I always say, we like hard work. Hard work is good work. Hard work can be joyful work. And the fight for our country is always worth it. It is always worth it.
So there you go. That is, that's Kamala Harris and her big concession speech. So a couple of things there. I thought it was a fairly weak kind of endorsement of Tim Walz out of the gate. Who's going to be the future of the Democratic Party? I think I've said it earlier. I think it's going to be Jared Polis of Colorado. But you had a bunch of her surrogates last night trash talking at the campaign headquarters, trash talking mm-hmm. Tim Walz as a stupid choice.
Yeah.
And they blamed him for her losing. And then she comes out and gives it kind of half hearted. A couple other things that stood out, though. Go ahead.
I can't remember. What did they say about Biden's choice for vice president when he chose his vice president? Weren't they saying that that was a stupid choice and would hurt him? And I'm trying to remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think that it's as sincere as she is capable of. At least that her supporters were cheering a peaceful transition of power. That's something that we had been warned about may not happen, that they would use the office of the presidency and some kind of emergency to not hand over power to the Republicans. And, you know, again, I'm just so curious because she says these things that sound quite nice. Let's be good people. Let's unify. Let's not put people down. I mean, after 3 months of calling her opposition Nazis
trash.
And fascists and trash, that's interesting message because that's not how it played out on the campaign trail. And can they put that into practice? When you pick through the cupboards, what's left there that Democrats are running on? And I want to know what's not rotten there after all of that cheating, after all of that warmongering, after all of that censorship, after all of that speaking of freedom but leaving none behind. I'm curious what's left besides not a person but a policy. I want to know.
Yeah, what is it that they can hang their hats on going into 2028? What is it, the rallying cry? Is it secure borders? Because that was not a policy they rallied around. They tried to step in on that at the last minute. The economy, like what exactly lowering prices? Is that going to be your thing? Well, you could have done that over the past 4 years. So what is it? What is the policy that Democrats are going to hang their hats on? What are going to be the three sort of tent pole items that they're going to run on in 2028? It'll be interesting to see. But she did talk about the courts, which brings us to this. And I think it's interesting what just happened just a few hours ago as it relates to the courts.
Well, the media is saying that a Trump win will give him a get out of jail free card. I've said that wrong twice.
Yeah.
I'm referring to the Monopoly Board. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
okay. And they are just incredulous over it. If you look at headlines today, Forbes is saying that he's been sprung as if he's been in jail and what do they call him? Slippery Don, Teflon Don, nothing sticks to him. A friend of mine this morning who really deplores Trump said she was just so upset that he had not been brought to justice. And because the media has told us that he's done all of this criminality, but what justice does he actually deserve? It's an interesting question when you go case by case. So let's start with the biggest news about the documents case, because the Justice Department just announced that special counsel Jack Smith will, quote, wind down his prosecution of President Trump, because how could they possibly prosecute him when this attorney general is on his way out? Now, here's MSNBC's report, and I want to see if you notice the same shift that I noticed in how they are covering this now that they know that a Republican administration is incoming.
Yeah, Chris, it's not a surprise that these cases can't go forward when Donald Trump takes office. What's interesting here is that the DOJ is moving to end them even before he takes office, citing the longstanding DOJ policy that sitting presidents can't be prosecuted. And there was some thought that maybe Special Counsel Jack Smith was going to sprint through the finish line, was going to work up until the last day, force Trump to fire him, wait till a new attorney general was appointed. But that does not appear to be the thinking inside the department. The thinking is that these cases can't go forward. There's no reasonable prospect of getting to trial within the 3 months before Donald Trump takes office. These cases are mired in legal issues that would be appealed all the way to the Supreme Court had Donald Trump lost the election. So now that he's won the election, DOJ officials are thinking that, look, there's just no room to move in these cases. And so the sensible thing to do is to figure out a way to wind them down. And it may stem from Donald Trump's lawyers filing some kind of motion or making a request saying, in light of the DOJ policy, you need to drop these cases. Now, there are a few wrinkles here, one of which is that the classified documents case includes two other defendants who are not subject to that policy. Mm-hmm. And it's been dismissed, obviously, but that dismissal has been appealed. And the DOJ considers that ruling to be very bad law that it would like to be overturned. So that appeal may continue in some form. But the reality is that Donald Trump is not going to be a part of these cases. And what this means, I mean, we knew this, right? But just coming to grips with what this means intellectually is that Donald Trump is not likely to be held accountable on these very serious federal criminal charges that many people believe were worse than what Richard Nixon did or was accused of doing in Watergate. Now, there's no guarantee that Donald Trump would have been convicted at trial, but as Joyce Vance, our legal commentator, said to me this morning, what's not going to happen is he's not going to face a jury of his peers who would evaluate the evidence and render a verdict. It's going to be lost to history whether a jury would have found him guilty of these very serious crimes, including conspiring to defraud the United States, obstruction of justice, moving to conceal evidence, and, of course, retaining highly, highly classified documents.
Ken, this is only the federal cases. What's going to happen to the state case?
Well, Andrea, Donald Trump's lawyers are going to make the same arguments in the state cases. Now, the Georgia case is mired in its own miasma and is not really going anywhere.
The New York case, obviously.
The New York case, right. So Judge Mershon is facing a sentencing hearing, and he's going to have to decide, and there may be an argument from Trump's lawyers that he should not pass sentence in that case, given that Donald Trump is about to take office as president. But really, there's a lot of discretion with the judge here. It's going to depend on what he decides to do.
I want to just point out, I want to talk that back. He's not technically convicted until he's sentenced, correct, Ken?
That is correct. Under New York law, he's not a convicted felon technically until the sentence is passed and the judgment is entered, Andrea.
Okay, so interesting how they're being more careful now about calling him a convicted felon. He's suing certain media for misnaming him after certain judgments. And also, maybe they feel different now that he is president-elect. Hellomoto in our chat says, winding down means burning all the evidence. That's a fantastic point that I had not thought of. If I were Donald Trump, and I were interested in how these politically motivated cases came about, I might send some letters today saying you are being ordered to save all documents. You are being asked to not destroy anything and give us a list of all of the servers. Because as Clayton just pointed out, the Obama administration on the way out poured, what did they say? What did you say?
Bleach.
They poured bleach on their computers.
They destroyed computers. And the same thing, and by the way, this is exactly what the Clinton team did when they left office.
Right.
And they handed things over to George W. Bush. They destroyed the computers. They removed W's from all of the keyboards so that they couldn't type the W on their keyboards. They went through the entire West Wing and destroyed the keyboard so they couldn't do their work.
Like, how is that legal? So you might want some kind of, hey, someone's got to come in, just take note of everything you've got, and then I'm going to want to see that. I'm going to be subpoenaing, that's not a good word, verb to say, subpoenaing.
Subpoenaing.
That ish. Okay.
I'll be peening
so
you.
So now the media is being forced to admit that these cases are full of holes. So the federal case is deflated, especially because Jack Smith was recently ruled inappropriately appointed. So how he is continuing to do this was anybody's guess. But without an attorney general behind him, he's not going to be able to do this, especially because the case was full of holes. It's interesting that MSNBC says many people think this is worse than Nixon, but we're not prosecuting Joe Biden because he's in office and senile. So that's okay. If you are okay with not prosecuting Joe Biden, you have to be okay with this case winding down. The Georgia case, severely compromised and flawed. We've talked about that a lot. We thought maybe it was the strongest filing against President Trump, but it has the weakest legal team, given that they're all sleeping with each other. So we'll see where that one goes. Now, the state case in New York over the Stormy Daniels entry is facing sentencing, and the oh-so-compromised Judge Mershon will most likely be forced to either back down or issue some kind of fine because it's sentencing trial that's coming up, which was moved. I do hope that he faces investigations and sanctions over his bias. For the details on this case, please, please watch Jed Rubenfeld's videos about it. I printed out these or brought you these snapshots so you can go see exactly how thin this case is. Now, the E. Jean Carroll case resulted in a defamation verdict, not a sexual assault verdict. He posted bond, actually, in those cases and is appealing the payments. So that case is by no means done yet. You cannot call him a sexual assault convict or anything of the sort. It went to defamation. Now, this case doesn't get much attention, the last one that we should pay attention to. Recall the case where the state of New York accused him of inflating his assets to secure a loan with Deutsche Bank. That was brought by AG Letitia James. She says, don't worry, we have a contingency plan for if he becomes president. I wonder what that is. She just said that to the press a couple of hours ago. Now, not only is he on track to get that money back because he sent it to an appeals court, but the lawyers who brought that case are in trouble with the judge for abuse of the law. Now, this happened in October and we were a little busy and a lot of us missed it. But listen to this. It's a bit long, but it's amazing about how that case now is just basically crumbling at the seams. Watch.
So the Trump fraud case went before the appellate court this week, and by the time it was over, the closing arguments of the Democrat lawyers was just them begging to not get sanctioned. So look, many people aren't aware that the Trump fraud case went before the appeals court this week. And if you don't know how an appeals court works, there are five judges that sit in judgment for these cases. And they basically let the prosecution and the defense both lay out their cases. And their job is to consider whether or not the case was worth hearing in the first place. And it went so badly for the Democrat lawyers that by the end of it, their closing arguments was just them begging to not get sanctioned. So they argued a ton of different things throughout this case. But the biggest thing was the judges kept interrupting them. They kept saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. Can you find me one other time in history where the person who took the loan was able to call the bank that they took the loan from, and then that bank showed up and said, we weren't defrauded? And the lawyers spent like 2 hours trying to find one little instance where it happened. But then the judges said, okay, let's try something else. They said, hey, have you ever prosecuted someone for lying about the value of a property when it resulted in the entire loan being paid back with interest? And again, they gave them like 2 hours to try to explain their case, and they still couldn't produce a single case where that had happened. And then the judges said, hey, you know what? We'll give you another shot. They said, have you ever seen an attorney general prosecute a case where there was no damage to the public? There was no damage to the person you said was defrauded, and there was no actual malice committed by the person who took the loan? And then they took another like 6 hours on that one. And by the end of it, the judges were like, so you don't have any instance of that happening? And then by the time they were done, the judges were like, I don't even know if this is a case that should have been brought. And they said, look, y'all might need to be sanctioned for bringing this case in a malicious manner. One of the judges actually said, I have come to believe that since a case like this has never been brought in the history of the country, not only New York, that you have only brought this case because the person was running for president, which would put you afoul of not only multiple regulations regarding the law, but would also run you afoul of electioneering interference. In fact, at the end of it, when they got to give their closing arguments, instead of arguing the value of their case, instead of arguing that like we should have been able to bring this case because of X and Y and all this shit, they actually just said at the end, we hope that the court will take into account that lawyers need to be able to bring cases like this without the threat of sanction. Basically, they were saying, we hope that you decide that we're not going to get in trouble for bringing this bullshit case. That was what happened at the appellate court. So Trump, being found guilty of fraud and having to pay 500 some odd million fucking dollars, and the whole left celebrating about that, he's going to get all that money back because the appellate court was like, this is a bullshit case. The people he took the loan from literally came to court on his behalf and said, hey, we weren't defrauded. We knew he overvalued Mar-a-Lago. We took that into our calculations. And even if we had taken that into our calculations, and the value of Mar-a-Lago was part of 0.14. Like the president of Deutsche Bank said, you know why we gave him the loan? It had nothing to do with the value of Mar-a-Lago. It had to do with we given him 21 other loans, and he has paid back all 21 with interest. We were giving him the loan regardless of the value of anything. And that's where the appellate court was like, How do you have a case? Deutsche Bank literally said we were giving him the loan regardless. And that's when they start begging to not get sanctioned. So yeah, that's what happened with the Trump fraud case this week. Going really well for the Democrats.
That guy did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Let's hand it to him of summarizing that. And so we can see where the wind is blowing, that if lawyers have used the justice system politically motivated, they may start getting in trouble. And I have an appetite for that because we are supposed to be assured equal protection under the law. And clearly that has not been the case in many of these legal cases. So we're waiting for that to that appeals decision sometime in November. Will the wind blow in his favor and he will get that money back? Now, I think it's fairly obvious to everyone who studies these cases that they were politically motivated. Go ahead, David.
Would that, set a precedent? Like, if they're going after him for defrauding the United States, that's us, right? Why can't we go after the government for defrauding us of $36 trillion?
Well, because citizens need permission to sue the government under federal law. Otherwise, they'd be sued all the time. So, okay. Let me know what you think of this case by case. Did he get out of this? Is he getting a free pass? Is it a get out of jail free card? Or I think my opinion, when I look at these cases case by case, and it becomes very blaring and apparent that they were politically motivated, I think he showed up. He hired lawyers. He paid the lawyers. He fought on his own time. He paid up when the system required him to pay up. He showed up for subpoenas. He complied with discovery. He trudged through litigation hell. What a nightmare. So let me know what you think. Did he actually go through hell and come out the other side? And this is supposed to work this way? Or is he actually slippery and won himself a pass? Let me know. All right, we have more news to get to. We're going to talk about the death of the legacy media.
Yeah, the numbers were unbelievable last night, the death of the legacy media.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's remarkable. So we'll show you that in just a second. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at ExpressVPN. Let me tell you something. This is an app that I use every day here on Redacted. So does Natalie. We both use it. We wouldn't be able to do this show if it wasn't for ExpressVPN. It's an amazing VPN service that allows us to access news websites and information because of censorship laws. So this is what people are dealing with on a regular basis. We know that there are people that live in France that can't even watch our show unless they use a VPN. That's how these crazy governments are limiting our access to information these days. ExpressVPN is incredibly simple to use and set up. We have it set up on all of our computers. We use it every day. All you do is click the on button, boom, you're connected. So you can pick and choose which country, which node you want to connect to. If you need to jump on in the United States, you can choose from, of course, a whole list of locations through the US, Europe, around the world. It's totally up to you. But this allows you to access things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to access because of your IP address. Of course, it hides your IP address. It anonymizes all of that. So if you're in a public Wi-Fi setting, you're at a coffee shop, wherever, and you want to use their Wi-Fi, absolutely, you need to use a VPN to protect yourself from people who are trying to snoop on your computer and what you're surfing, right? Whether it's banking information, you want to pay some bills while you're at the coffee shop, make sure you're using a VPN. So our friends over at ExpressVPN right now will give you 3 months of ExpressVPN for free, okay? Just go to expressvpn.com/redacted to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. So go to expressvpn.com/redacted. Find out how you can get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. All right. Well, if you work in the legacy media, get ready for mass amounts of layoffs. The job cuts are going to come fast and they're going to come furiously because now it's readily apparent that the legacy media is dead. All you needed to do is look at last night's numbers. Even before last night's election, legacy media was already laying off thousands of people, upwards of 20,000 so far across multiple legacy media platforms this year alone, and the year's not even over yet, like at the Washington Post and others. And so they do these layoffs at the same time they're trying to gain new subscribers. So you see how this works? They have to keep cutting the fat. They have to keep cutting all of this because no one's reading their publications. How many of you are actually buying a newspaper publication right now? Actually, tell me in the chat room right now, how many of you are actually have a newspaper subscription? Do you subscribe to the New York Times? Are you paying the New York Times? Are you paying the Washington Post? Are you paying the Seattle Post-Intelligencer? I love these old 100-year-old names. Are you paying for any of this sort of legacy media stuff anymore? This is the Hollywood Reporter last night. So you think, oh, election night, right? All of people are going to be tuning into Fox News and MSNBC and CNN. No, no. Election night viewing drops sharply in these early Nielsen numbers. Fox News did lead all the networks, but overall, these numbers plummeted compared to 2020. And it's worse for news media as the layoffs continue to pile up one after the other. You know, it's funny for the here, the news media layoffs keep piling up one after the other. Worse since the financial crisis, with all of these tens of thousands of media layoffs. Last night I tweeted this. You can follow me on X if you'd like. Here was my X post last night after the election. Tonight's election marked the death of the legacy media. Elon Musk's X trounced all of them. And it really is true, because when you look at the record usage last night for Twitter X, the amount of people that were getting their information from independent media and citizen journalists was off the charts. Elon Musk posted this, record usage of this platform. And he also wrote this, the reality of this election was plain to see on X. While most legacy media lied relentlessly to the public, you are the media now. Please post your thoughts and observations on X. Correct others when they're wrong, and we will have at least one place in the world where you can come to find the truth. And it's really shocking when you think about it, because without X during this election, it's very probable that Kamala Harris might have won this election.
Well, yes, because the Biden-Harris administration has censored and removed users and speech and topics that they did not like. What would be to prevent them from continuing to do that had we not had the Twitter files and litigation to stop them?
And how would we have fact-checked and been able to call BS right on them, right? This is, of course, why the Harris campaign we revealed last week went to such great lengths to basically manipulate ex-community posts by flooding them with a Discord server that they used, and they would marshal people to jump on to these community posts and downrank them once they published lies. So when the Harris campaign was publishing lies, we were wondering, like, why aren't there a lot of community notes here on X? It's because they were manipulating this, because they knew they were lying and they wanted to cover up their lies. And frankly, without X as a free speech platform, she might have won this election. I think it's very probable that she might have. And where else would we have gone to get this information? We know that YouTube certainly has censored quite a bit of stuff during the elections. Maybe as a posting platform, I'm talking about X. Facebook? No way. TikTok? No way. Maybe Rumble, Reddit, just for video content, but no posting text-based content. Where are you going to find it? Go ahead, Philip.
Reddit was like flooded with Kamala bots that were posting like in all kinds of subreddits with just pictures and stuff like that. Just like it was flooded with it.
Yeah. And Elon Musk brought up a great point when he spoke to Joe Rogan about fact checking about, you know, when legacy media lies to us, like Rachel Maddow gets on television and lies to us, or The New York Times lies to us. They don't ever come back and make corrections, and they don't ever apologize for it. And in many ways, it's sort of like the Mark Twain quote, right, that a lie can travel halfway around the world before truth has a chance to put on its pants. And that's what, you know, covering up the Hunter Biden laptop story, telling us it's Russian disinformation, and then amplifying those signals, then you have President Biden winning an election. So here was Elon Musk talking about this fact-checking.
Obviously, anyone on the X system knows that things are posted, and then there are replies, and there are rebuttals, and it's immediately corrected. But where are the corrections for the legacy media?
Right.
You know, some broadcast media, they say false things all the time, but it's a one-way street. There's no rebuttal. There's no counter.
Right. Who's apologized for being incorrect about what? Did Rachel Maddow ever apologize for telling everybody that if you get the COVID vaccine, you're never going to get COVID? It won't. The virus stops with you.
No, never.
Never. Yeah. No one ever. It's just. It was not true at the time. There was no evidence to support it at the time. It's pure propaganda. And she said it. The Russiagate hoax. The for
exactly.
3 fucking years they said that he was Putin's toy.
Yes.
And that Putin had him compromised. The Steele dossier.
Steele dossier was completely fabricated by a lawyer at Perkins Coie, who was paid by the Clinton campaign, literally.
Crazy.
And still people think the Russia hoax is real.
And there's no repercussions.
Yes.
There's no one had to apologize. Hillary Clinton never came out and apologized for that, and people still listen to her. The whole thing is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's all coming from the left.
Yeah, it's all coming from the left. So the legacy media is grasping at straws. You're going to see massive amounts of layoffs. David Sachs tweeting this just a few minutes ago, late last night. This is a bankruptcy moment for legacy media. They shrieked Nazi, fascist, traitor, insurrectionist at the top of their lungs for years. The country didn't believe it. Their spell is broken. Their credibility is destroyed. It's a new dawn.
The sad thing is that most of them have to be fired in order to start telling the truth, or if they start telling the truth, they get fired. We saw that with Tucker Carlson, who started to tell the truth about the war in Ukraine, lost his job at Fox. Then we saw that with Chris Cuomo, lost his job at Fox for something else, started to become responsible for his own research instead of parroting the narrative of the network, and then all of a sudden he knows what's what on his own independent channel. So could it be, or should it be, that those of them who are lying the loudest should be punished, sent back to the drawing board, and then when they, and that is my experience too, that when we became responsible for our own message, because we are independent media, that forced me to study harder, and it broke the stronghold of the mainstream media narrative. So that you shouldn't have to go through that much pain because you're trying so hard to not study truth. So they owe us apologies before they, but they will instead get fired first.
But I was just looking at some of our numbers last night, and that, go ahead, Phil. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, I wish that we had the ability. So like a lot of you will watch YouTube videos and our videos a lot. You'll see they put this little disclaimer at the bottom quoting either Wikipedia or CDC or whatever. Imagine if we could go to news sites and do that same thing on their stories. We would be, we would be fact checking them a lot more than they do us. But we don't.
Oh,
have
yeah,
that
they turn off. No, they turn off the comment section for a lot of the legacy media. You're not going to be able to go and post like comments on a Washington Post story or anything like that. So you're not going to be able to fact check them. They put out this piece of garbage. The Atlantic publishes a big hit piece right before the election, a coordinated hit piece with the deep state. Right. Who's paying for an Atlantic subscription?
No, I saw, I think it was either New York Times or Wall Street Journal hit piece on Michael Schellenberger. Fantastic journalist, Michael Schellenberger, just calling him a kook. That was the whole basis of the story, is that he's speaking out on behalf of the whale's death, but he's crazy for doing that because we all want wind turbines. It was fucking nuts. And the comments section actually was like, he's right. What's wrong with you? This is a biased piece. Where, and they shut them off.
Oh, yeah.
But there were, in fact, people. In fact, no, I don't know if they shut them off. That was something else. But they did allow it for a short period of time, because when they find real journalists, they have to attack them.
Yeah, it's really stunning. I was just going to say on our numbers, I was looking at our numbers, you know, just, you know, we're a small YouTube channel, relatively speaking, to like Joe Rogan or anything. But we have, you know, 2.5 million subscribers here. And if you look at the cumulative amount of to watch time of our viewers over the past month, it exceeds almost all CNN shows, like all legacy media cable news shows on CNN or MSNBC. It's remarkable. So legacy media is dying. Independent media is rising. As long as we continue to, you know, navigate this crazy world together and share the truth without an agenda. We have no agenda on this show other than the truth. And we're going to hold President Trump's campaign and administration to task, hoping that he carries through on all of the things that he's promised and all of the things, you know, ending these wars. It's top of our list. Get us out of Ukraine. End these wars in the Middle East.
Yeah. Tax reform.
Tax reform.
All of that stuff.
All of these things that he's talked
about. It's amazing,
though,
because President Trump can propose tax reform. It can go through the Senate. And now that Republicans control both chambers of the Senate, it can pass without a humongous fight. When we hit the debt crisis, the budget crisis at the end of the year, we may actually, not this year, obviously, because Democrats will still be in power. But when that happens again, who cares? Because Republicans Republicans will pass it. They can agree on cutting spending. Will they actually do it? That's what they've said they were holding hostage negotiations about. So we're going to watch. We want to see those things.
Let's get to your super chats and all of your comments here today.
I will say something real quick on the legacy media. And I think like one thing that just is definitely going to usher in the death of legacy media is the fact that like the newest generations are not going to get on board. They're not going to start watching CNN. They're not going to start watching Fox. And so basically every person they lose is gone forever. That's never going to be replaced. So they can only go fewer and fewer. They can't even level out because they're just not going to, they're not going to pick up that generation.
Well, where was your daughter getting her election results? Your 18-year-old.
Almost entirely from TikTok. Almost entirely
from TikTok. Even she got state results and all of that. That's wild.
Yes.
Okay.
She got the final results from me, but because she wasn't watching any of that. She didn't know where to go to even see the map or to check the numbers. But almost all of the information she takes in is from TikTok, YouTube, or I guess her parents.
Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're in a new frontier, a new era, but you are the media. And I think, you know, citizen journalists who are out there with their own iPhones and cameras and who have a specialty in a field, whether it's a rancher who's on their own ranch telling you what's actually happening with the cattle industry. Like, these are the people that we want to turn to, not listening to these bobbleheads in Washington and New York cities anymore.
Look what James O'Keefe is doing with the hidden cameras and stuff. Like, I mean, he has a whole army of citizen journalists now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you used to rely on that like at 60 Minutes. They'd have one person doing something like this, right? When did we ever see that? Now we get to see it on a regular basis on social. All right, we're going to take your Super Chats here and your Rumble Rants. So thank you to all of you guys for subscribing and being a part of our show. We're going to do that. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Armra, because you may know, because we're mammals, if you've ever nursed a baby, that the first substance that comes before you start to produce your milk is called colostrum. That is an incredibly immunity boosting substance that we make for our babies. And so our friends over at Armra have figured out a way to harness this sustainably from cows so that you too can get this immune boost in a supplement that can help you with all manner of bodily functions in order to level up. Armra is sustainably sourced from grass-fed cows on family-owned dairy farms throughout the U.S. using only overflow colostrum, so you're not taking it from a calf. They ensure that the calf's needs always come first, and then this is a beautiful way to upcycle the surplus. And you know, of course, we're always on the lookout for ways to strengthen our immunity, also gut health, improve fitness and metabolism, enhance skin and hair radiance. Well, this is a great way to look into colostrum. So if you look into Armra colostrum, and you can see if it works for you, and I'm sure you've all heard about it by now. So if you go to tryarmra.com/redacted, you can receive 15% off your first order. And in fact, this is why they say newborn babies don't get sick if they're nursing, because of this magical substance. So you can look into it and see if it works for you as well. So get 15% off your first order. Head on over to tryarmra.com, tryarmra.com/redacted.
I like this. Coin Each says in our chat here on YouTube, says, I got the election results last night from Redacted. Thank you, Clayton and Natalie and the team. Thank you very much. Yeah, we did like 7 hours of live election coverage last night.
That was an adventure.
And it was fun because I used to cover the elections when I worked at Fox News, you know, back in the day. And so, you know, what's amazing to me is I called certain states ahead of the Associated Press and ahead of Fox News, and we were right. We were right here across the board last night. And I even called the presidency when the math showed it, when the math didn't lie. And so Redacted last night called the presidency, and it took minutes before Fox News then called it.
Yeah.
So we beat Fox News last night. All it took was the math calling these races. So again.
And then after we shut down, Clayton stayed up all night waiting for MSNBC to call it because they just could not
do it.
They refused they were denying reality.
There was a lot more boob conversation on our stream than there was on Fox. Mm-hmm.
We had a little bit of that.
It was a little PG-13 last night here on our show.
And I was going to say CNN was another one that absolutely refused. They were showing, like, even though Alaska and everything, the last ones that come in, they would not put those three electoral votes up for Trump. Like they mm-hmm. waited till the absolute last minute because they just couldn't handle it.
Jen Psaki was lecturing all of us at 4 a.m. Eastern time. Chucky, I call her Chucky. She looks like Chucky. And she's like, yeah, she's like, we have integrity here at MSNBC. So our decision desk is not going to call the election. We have rules and integrity. So we're not going to call it for President Trump, you know, because there's still lots of votes coming in.
And
they're all asleep right now. All right, let's get to some Super Chats and Rumble Rants here.
All right, I'll go through the Rumble Rants first. Tal Zelma, thanks for the show. You both must be exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had a huge snowstorm, and we're in another snowstorm is about to hit tonight. Another big snowstorm. So tonight's one of those nights you want to like sit by the fire, read a book, and then just go to bed early.
Yeah,
you
know? I'm gonna sit and stare at the wall with my mouth agape when this show is over today.
And I'm just gonna throw food into it.
My mom calls it doing the salmon when you're so tired that you fall asleep with your.
Here's a little funny insight. When Natalie and I travel together, which is often, and if one of us falls asleep, like in the airplane seat, the other one will take a photo of them. Like
I have a whole album of Clayton doing the salmon on public transportation.
So do I. I have a whole photo album of her, like. And then we text it to her. She was like, "Oh, you ass." Marriage.
Okay.
Marriage. All right, go ahead. Sorry, Dan.
From the Alchemist 19. Kamala's acceptance of Trump's results may be a psyop to create a narrative of cordial concession before taking action against him.
I was listening for that. Yeah, we don't know, but let's take a break from that for
right
now.
I know we all want like a breather from that. I mean, but I am concerned. I've said it now for months. What will the deep state do? Will the deep state allow him to become president of the United States? And you brought up Letitia James in New York. Like she says, we have a plan.
Yeah.
Like, we have a plan
what
before
the hell does
he becomes
that mean,
president.
Girl?
So what the hell does that mean?
You're not a king, a queen. So how's that going to work?
And then Mr. Mike, after last night, X should no longer be referred to as formerly Twitter.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I know, you know.
It had its puberty.
We all sort of still, because it's hard to say, you know, an X post or, you know, whatever you say, is you call them posts instead of tweets. And so we're ingrained in saying that for 13 years or whatever it was. And last night, it struck me like a lightning bolt, because I still do that sometimes. When Jen Psaki, or Chucky, as I call her, said last night, she's like, I know over Elon over there on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it now. Like, she did it so derisively, mm-hmm. you know, and she just like, whatever we're calling it now. You know, and I was like, wait a second. No. It's been 2 years now. He changed the title of this company.
Yeah.
It's now X. Like, we should all just call it X from now on.
Sure.
You know, and stop being so derisive about it.
Yeah.
I just get confused with like retweeting and tweeting. I don't know what to call that now. Xing and re-Xing
repost,
and posting and reposting.
Repost. Yeah. Repost.
That's a hard one for me to get.
Yeah.
Twitter
okay,
is
so
the maiden
we've got
name.
Three.
That's why you should just go to Reddit. You should just go to Reddit.
Never.
All right, we got three pages of Super Chat, so you guys buckle up. Here we go. You ready?
Okay.
Yeah. And I might have to duck out because it's snowing and pick up my daughter at elementary school here, so Natalie might round it out and I might be back.
Because
we'll
Clayton
see.
Has a big boy car.
So I got to take the truck. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. All right, Commie's reign is over. I love the thumbnail. The fake news tried so hard to keep you restless but not showing results, but what about the House race? Why is it still at a standstill? Good questions on the House. Yeah.
All right. $5 from Dan Foster. Thank you so much. Ski season time is what I deduce from your profile pic. $5 from Mike Matt. The House, Senate, SCOTUS, the White House is a royal flush, ladies and gentlemen.
Royal
yes,
flush.
It is. It's a royal flush. All right. From Lunzay. Reading the fake news about Trump is like reading a ransom letter in a movie. The letters from here, another letter from there, compiled into one. Yeah, it's garbage. Total garbage. Okay, Red Gorilla, £1.99 pounds. Thank you. Will Trump stop funding Israel and Ukraine? That's what I'm hoping. I see Zelensky on there begging, basically, for an audience with Trump. He literally this morning said, I look forward to congratulating Trump personally, meaning fly me back out there, dude. I need to make a pitch in person. I need to get my popularity back. Please, President Trump, do not do that.
Yeah. Do not.
I'm begging you to not do that.
Do not bring that little corrupt ape into the United States on our taxpayer dollars anymore. The last time the United States Air Force flew him here and then put him up nicely. And as he begged for billions of dollars more. Mustard Seed. Hey, Kamala, who's laughing now? Thank you, Mustard Seed. Louis Block. I like that. Is that a is that in China or is that
looks like,
or is that in Japan? It looks like Japan. Maybe it's hard to see. Loved your show last night. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you very much.
Is that Luis or Louis? I always get confused. Inga Pevsner. Thank you from Ingrid. Inga, I appreciate that. William, $47 super chat. Thank you.
Thank you for the hard work and well-thought analysis. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. Two Canadian dollars from Sean Dakin, who is the Joker. There is still lots more BS to come.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. We're all sort of sitting in this, like, maybe a little honeymoon period right now. Oh, Kamala came out today and conceded, and she said she wants a peaceful transition of power.
Right.
Okay. Is this really going to happen?
Yeah.
We'll see.
$20 from Jazz to Country. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. $2 from Jerry Hernzew. Thanks for all you do, Redacted. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jerry.
Ray Patrick in our chat here on YouTube says, hey, you guys are oozing with beautiful, radiant confidence.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah. All right. $9.99 from Titan. PSA to men, young and old, read the book Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. Do you know this one?
John Eldridge. I'm going to look it up right now. Wild at Heart by John Eldridge.
All right. Put it on your Goodreads.
I will.
All right. Thank you so much. $2 from Country Mama. Thank you for always truthful, investigative journalism. Thank you very much. We work really hard to deserve you. I hope we continue to do so. $5 from Johnny Badman. These results have me feeling hopeful about what can be no longer burdened by what has been. Indeed, no longer we're unburdened. $49.99, thank you so much, from the USPA Nationwide Security. Independent journalism to the rescue. I feel like we're in very good company. I'm encouraged by that. Thank you. $5 from B. Tisdale. Al Sharpton has the face of a soggy bowl of cereal. Yeah.
By the way, I just bought that book. Thank you for the recommendation, the John Eldridge Wild at Heart book. I just picked that up, so thank you for that. It's called Wild at Heart, Discovering the Secrets of a Man's Soul. So I like the sounds of that.
Should I not read it?
Yeah, you don't need to read it. You're not a man.
Okay.
You don't need to move in on my territory.
All right.
That was what this election was about, okay? Maddie England, based wall. Thank you. Are you talking about our wall here, our based wall? Thank you, Dan, for your $2 super chat. Is that a based wall behind us? I like it.
$5 from Margot Butel. You guys are awesome. Thank you for the truth. You're awesome for being here. Thank you very much. $5 from Hey You. Actually, I think it's pretty smart when you don't get yourself six figures into debt and being brainwashed before starting your career. Yes, indeed. Oh, I agree. But because we're talking about college-educated women, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're responsible, or uneducated women are to blame for the results of the election.
You know what I watched the other night? I saw an ad from, it was a black woman, and she talked about learning the electrical trade, and she became a tradesman. I don't know what the correct terminology is, but she got her, she joined whatever.
Some certification.
Yeah, uh-huh. To become an electrician. And she said, it's a direct path to the middle class. I'm able to provide for my family and learning this trade. And I frankly think, yeah, you're seeing that with plumbers and carpenters and electricians, mm-hmm. that they're making really good money. And there's no discussion about this. You know, we all, go to college, get $100,000 in debt, and then go get some liberal job somewhere. It's like, imagine if we had more people who could do the hard skills and do the great carpentry work, like Philip our team, you know?
Yeah, that's what I did. I apprenticed under an Australian master carpenter and went through journeyman. I mean, so I'm technically a journeyman finished carpenter, but, you know, sitting here instead because it's more fun. It's easier on the body.
But if I need cabinets, I know who to call.
Yeah. $5 from Maggie Smith. Dems teach young people power is outside of themselves. That creates a victim mentality that makes them powerless to perceive and solve problems. That's very astute. Yes, it does. It does feel like that. That's why so much depression right now. And again, I refer you to the segment we did last week about why liberal teens have such high rates of depression because of this powerless message. And they deserve much better than that.
DKK70 from Claudia Peterson, who's a naturopathic doctor. Congratulations to all of us. Greetings from Denmark. Thank you, Claudia.
Yes, €23.99 from 49. Congrats, America. You did it. Trump left Kamala unburdened by what has been. Hope he stops the war and frees Ross Ulbricht like he promised. I'm not familiar with that case.
Ashley Marie says, Natalie, unrelated to the topics, I just wanted to compliment your hairstyle. Your color and curl is so beautiful.
Oh.
I appreciate you and Clayton so much. Thanks. Thank you to the redacted team. Thank you, Ashley.
It was really a good holdover blowout from election night. I just combed it out. If you want a girl talk, we'll do that later. Yes. Thank you very much.
She loves a good compliment on her hair. All right, Kevin, $10 super chat. Her acknowledgement of Waltz was very weak at best. Yeah, in her concession speech, her sort of acknowledge him.
Carol Roth posted on X. Okay, ladies, if you want to become POTUS, do not pick a running mate named Tim.
Yeah, Tim Kaine.
Tim Kaine, Tim Walz. Like,
you know what's so funny?
No Tims.
Like, I usually can remember details about elections going back like decades because I'm kind of crazy like that, and I love
Ooh,
this stuff.
Ooh, let's quiz him.
And I love this stuff, but I can name running mates. I could not for the life of me figure out who Hillary Clinton's running mate was. I was like, I can't remember. You and I couldn't. We both couldn't remember. We had to Google the
damn
thing.
It took us a while to come up with Tim Kaine. We did have to
totally forgettable.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Clayton, it's snowing. You need to
All right,
go to
I'll do this
up.
Last Say one, and then you can take Natalie's solo. Joseph Johnson.
He can't stand it.
I know, because I love the show. I hate leaving the show.
Go.
I love the show. Joseph Johnson. $10. What is truly terrifying is the extent to which the Dems will lie, cheat, deceive, and distort the truth about everything. Thank you, Joseph Johnson. I appreciate it. Yeah. Okay. Clayton out. I'm going to go pick up my daughter in the truck in the snowstorm. You guys do the super chats. Don't push me away. Don't push me away.
You're out of here. Okay.
She literally kicked me out of here. Coming back.
Go.
Coming back.
You have to do this. So, you know, when we moved, Clayton got a big truck. And he used to drive this little Mini Cooper. And so we're like, you got the big car now. You got to do it. Okay. $2 from Tyler Raita DuPont. Why did the election coverage stop early in 2020? We were really bait and switched. If that's a verb,
also,
I'm using it. Hey, nobody asked.
Also, why were there 20 million votes that suddenly appeared out of the blue and they didn't show up last night? There's 20 million that showed up in 2020.
Right. 20 million Democratic voters. Did they all die of COVID?
No, I have a really serious question about that. Why did they choose not to use those 20 million? Like, what happened last night? Where did they go? Where did they all disappear to? Mm-hmm. And why did they not pull them out of their back pocket last night? Good question to ask. I'll leave you with that, my friends. Bye now.
Bye now. Okay. Go on. Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. 199 pounds from Gervais McMonagle. Hi from Ireland. Hello. I'm so curious how people in the UK and Europe woke up to these election results. Like, did a lot of them stayed up with us last night? But what was that like, waking up to that news? $9.99 from TJ Lewis. We won the battle. Remember, we're still in a war. Stay frosty. Yes. Yeah, we need to stay vigilant. $2 from Saline Prepper Dark Secrets. Hello to you. My only news subscription is redacted as an email. Thank you very much. And I'm shocked that we even got the newsletter out this morning. It was so exhausting and just so much news. So thank you for subscribing. You too can subscribe for free to Redacted News at redacted.inc. It's a free newsletter. No upselling of anything. Just comes the same day as the show. $5 from Little Things. Oh, I missed that one. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, that was me.
That was me. Thank you, Redacted. In a world where the news is so partisan and censored, we would not be this well informed, and you do it so respectfully. Thank you very much for saying that. What a nice compliment. Fully automatic cameras. Thank you so much. We the people are burned out and tired of hearing the lies that have been coming out of your mouths. Time to turn the page. Clean house now, America. Yeah, liars get punished or apologize. That's the only way this should go. $20 from New Zealand, Carl Moffitt. Love you guys. Love you right back. Thank you so much for being here. $1.99 from Marco. Go GG's Redacted. What's GG's? Do you guys know?
I mean, GG is usually a good game, but I don't know what GG's are.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Good game to you. €5.99 from Crypto Yoda. You're the best. Thank you so much for your hard work. Love you. No, I love you, Crypto Yoda. And Mike Lee, $25, combat veteran and a coal miner from Kentucky. Never complained, kept my head down and keep grinding, but I did wake up with huge weight off my shoulders. Thank you for saying that. Yes, I think that a lot Grim, of... Yeah.
Grim confirmed it's good game.
Oh, okay. Good game. Thank you. Good game to you. And thank you, Mike, for sharing that story. USPA Nationwide Security, thank you for the $99.99 Super Chat. Independent journalists are the unsung heroes who saved our republic. Let's hope. We still have a lot of saving to do, but we're in good company. I'm proud to be doing this. $5 from Muse and Spews. Meet Kugo is a 3.5 pounds and a rat terrier teacup to the Chihuahua. Mix. Is that the little guy that's in your profile pic? Three and a... Oh, rat terrier. Yep. Not a rat. Not a rat at all. Right. Okay. Terrier teacup Chihuahua mix. Super cute. All right. Two Canadian dollars from Kenzie Kraken. Multiple MAGA is necked. Trudeau was a wreck in QP today. Okay. Yes. I know that Canadians are super jealous that we kicked out our authoritarian leaders. So you go do that next. Let us know how we need to help you. I would love to see that.
Maybe we can hear from David Crayton this week. We'll have to have Clayton reach out.
Yeah.
See if we, see
I would love to.
His and reaction on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to have Ralph Schulhammer on as well. See how Europeans are taking this. So I think a lot of them feel hopeful that liars and authoritarians would be kicked to the curb. All right, from Little Things, CG? After causing the issues, Kamala said she would fix them day one. I wonder if she'll pretend she never said it and go back to causing more damage. Right, I mean, you're still in office, girl. Like, you still can do stuff. I think she forgets that she actually has a job. It's pretty wild. Okay. And Colin G., thank you to the entire redacted team for reporting factual, unbiased news. I'm reading these from a screen that's far, and I'm using reading glasses. That's not really all that much better. I need progressives. Christina Renee, thank you so much for that $9.99. Starting to feel unburdened by what has been. That one keeps on giving. It doesn't get old. Thanks to everyone at Redacted for your amazing election coverage last night. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for joining us. £4.99 from Vic Zucchini, the underdog. Natalie, talk about getting news from real people. I grew up on a farm with cows. There's no such thing as overflow colostrum. It's always taken from the calf. Okay, we should look into that. Thank you for letting me know. Because, yeah, we'll have to look into what is overflow colostrum. Okay, $10 Australian from Melissa. Thank you, Clayton and Natalie. My parents and I watch you every day. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for saying that. Hello to your parents. $5 from Ronald Vaught. Great job with the honest coverage and integrity. Keep it up. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. 1111. Ooh, that's a lucky number. Thank you very much. From John Venturini. When your campaign used a tagline, obviously, what was obvious is that it came off as condescending and you lost the White House. Obviously. Yes. Thank you for that.
And thank you, thank John. You John's a friend of mine. So hi, John.
Oh, hi, John. Excellent. $9.99 from Mr. Wink. Hello. Thank you very much. Very much appreciate that. And $5 from John Hamilton. Been following y'all for 2 years now. Y'all are doing great. Keep it up. Thank you so much. And thanks for continuing to come back. We really appreciate it. And I'm not sure what that currency is, 500 from Stella KN. Oh, from Kenya, East Africa. Thank you for your service from Kenya, East Africa. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And $2 from Fully Automatic Cameras. Maybe Whoopi, Joy, and Sunny can just shh now. Yes, I want to kind of watch the pain right now. I did enjoy that. And the fact that they just don't get it is fun. So, and especially I went back and watched them sort of with their faux outrage over the garbage comment, the Puerto Rican, like, and you, Donald Trump, and you don't get it, and moving their head around, and I'm going to tell you this. And it just doesn't age well, and it was beautiful. Milos Ivanic, 5.99 euros. I hope he keeps his promises. No more wars, Serbian here. Me too. Me too. I'm. You know, I just don't know. I just don't know. So we have to stay on it. We have more work to do. 4.99 from Jim Burns. When are we going to see the new studio? Hopefully in the spring. Probably not before the holidays. Thanks for asking. And $2 from Fully Automated Cameras. Natalie, 2028. Thank you for that endorsement, but no, thank you. Couldn't do it. Don't want to. Also, not just because I'm a journalist. I'm not a leader. Also, I don't like to stay up late. So there's no way I could campaign. And I get weird in front of people and awkward and always say the wrong thing. So I would be shit on the campaign. I know that about myself. Kamala Harris had to learn it the hard way. 1999 from Peppermint Saki. The talking points in her concession speech was everything her campaign was not, and the only time she's ever made sense. That's what I thought, too. Clayton was kind of, you know, oofing and over there, but I was like, actually, I'm glad she said those things. Why was she not saying them all along? Let's be a good person after calling people Nazis and fascists? Okay. And Hitler? $4.99 from Ghost Magnet 81. Business Insider today has an article, How to Move Out of the U.S. for all of those who threatened to leave if Trump won. Now, as someone who has moved out of the United States, felt like I escaped some kind of politics, and then came back, I say have at it. It's super hard to be an expat. It's super hard to get your documentation. You have to really want it. And it's lonely to be an expat. It's lonely to be in a culture that's not yours and feel like you never actually will fit in somewhere. No matter how nice the Portuguese people were, I was never going to be Portuguese. It's really hard. So have at it if you want. I think you'll be back. But yeah, you have my blessing. Give it a try. Azat Sakilov, $10. Thank you. Go Trump. Now, please do an interview with Thomas Cowan and Andrew Kaufman. They're the antidote against the whole big pharma propaganda about new viruses. Okay. Thomas Cowan and Andrew Kaufman. Let me just write that down because I will forget. I'm going to send it in. Thomas Cowan.
Yep. C-O-W-A-N and Andrew Kaufman.
Okay, I just accidentally texted that to my daughter. She's going to be like, what? okay. $4.99 from I'm Trash Bruh. 2016, A New Hope. 2020, The Empire Strikes Back. 2024, The Return of the Jedi. Yes, much symbolism in that, if you know the Star Wars lore. Absolutely. $4.99 from X Token. Hey, y'all are so great. I love you. I love you. Thank you very much. And $1.99 from Mr. Wink. Yeah, where's the 80 million votes? They missed 20 million. So those 20 million either did not vote, which seems unlikely, died from COVID, also seems unlikely, never existed, were assumed by the Republican Party, not possible because their numbers were on par. I don't know. That's so weird. So weird, right? Okay, $1.99 from Ernest Alvaro. I had 2020 PTSD. I was afraid to fall asleep. Same. And I was like being super superstitious here, like knocking on wood all over the place, that kind of thing. So yeah, same Z's. Okay.
All right, that's all of them.
And that's it. Okay, thank you so much for joining us. We made it. We made it to the other side of November the 5th. It felt like we never would. So hopefully the candidates stop texting you. Yeah. And, you know, Barack Obama can stop texting me. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and Doug Emhoff lose my number. All of that.
I was so freaking happy last night to put on just watch a freaking YouTube video and not get the same damn political ad, because they've been running literally 4 to 5 times. Anytime I try to watch anything on YouTube, it's the same damn like Joe Kent advertisement. Yeah. Like I don't know who the guy is, but I hate him. Even I don't know what he stands for because he's just in my face constantly. So if that's what they wanted from me was to hate the guy, they succeeded.
They paid money to get you to hate them. To those ads cost them money.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It worked because I was pissed. So I was happy last night when the freaking stupid Velveeta commercial came on. I was like, yes, try to push your nuclear cheese on me. I'm happy to see
cheese.
It. Thank you.
Happy to see that. Yeah, for me, it's all like, you know, stop running to lose weight. Those are the ads I get all the time. And I'm like, what? Why? What's the algorithm think of me? Okay. But that's just me. So thank you so much for joining us. We will be back here tomorrow. We're here Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter. Oh, yes, we do. Sorry. We have one more show sponsor to tell you about. Then I do need my glasses. Where am I supposed to go? Here's where we're going to go. Hey, do you like free stuff? Because you're in luck. BioOptimizer's Black Friday deal is starting now. And they're BioOptimizer's giving away free gifts with purchase. So this is an exclusive advanced invite to BioOptimizer's Black Friday deal for an entire month, all of November. And it's their best sale of the year. So if you're feeling stressed or haven't been sleeping well lately, well, in election week, pretty much none of us have, then you can reclaim your awesome sleep by taking Magnesium Breakthrough. They have 7 critical forms of magnesium. Pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded with magnesium. So right now, for the entire month of November, BioOptimizers, the makers of Magnesium Breakthrough, is giving everyone their Black Friday blowout sale on all products. So you can get discounts with our unique code, plus up to $100 in free gifts with purchase. So the code is redacted. You can head on over to buyoptimizers.com/redacted. And literally, even Google will tell you the truth about magnesium. Magnesium is fantastic for you, upgrades your sleep, helps you to go to sleep easier if you have trouble with that. You don't wake up with that hangover feeling. If you like to take, say, a Tylenol PM or a NyQuil from time to time, well, this is totally different. So check them out. Learn about magnesium and the 7 optimal forms of magnesium that are in BioOptimizers and Magnesium Breakthrough. Head on over to buyoptimizers.com/redacted. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining our show. We'll see you tomorrow.